Happy New Year to everyone. Happy New Year to everyone, particularly to those who are joining as shareholders. I hope you had a restful break, and I hope that we all share hopes for a more productive and prosperous 2026 with Penpetro. I'm going to be working off a script because I've got a lot of things to say. We're recording everything so that people can go back over it. So if you miss certain things or you're not sure what's been said, I'm sure it'll come up, Andrew, on the website probably tomorrow.
Of course.
I'm currently 8 hours behind you, so I'm a little bit jet lagged as well. So go easy on me with the questions. I'll try to do my best to answer them coherently. The whole goal of this particular meeting is that I'm mindful of the fact that there was a gap, and a necessary one, of course, with the holidays, between the very late in the year, pre-Christmas, general meeting and today. And a lot of people have been asking me, whether we could have an explainer and, an understanding, better understanding of what the results of that meant and how that will, affect how we're going to, how PPP will look in the coming months, as we go into 2026. So that's the goal for tonight. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone who took the time, and there was a lot of effort from many shareholders who were trying to understand what the votes meant at all, before the general meeting. And those who voted, thanks very much. We had a really good turnout of voting, better than even in the AGM. And I want to also clarify for people that what seems to be, and I hope is, a dramatic change in sentiment among our shareholders that was demonstrated during the voting on the 23rd of December last year. This company, as we know, and we're not going to dwell on this, past this call, you won't hear these words from me again, but I think we need to draw a line under things and really move forward. As you're going to hear, there's a good reason to do that. But I think this company's been plagued with negativity, and from certain quarters, efforts to seemingly, it may be that people genuinely felt that their behaviour was in the best interest of others, but I find that difficult to believe, to damage our ability to bring PPP back to trading on the stock exchange. And this goes back long before my involvement with the business. And continued through, the end of last year, really. While some grievances, apparent grievances that I hear about seem to have some grounding, the majority don't. And I'm hoping that we can move on and bring everyone together to do great things. So since joining the company, I said all along that we're going to have a new, open and more inclusive approach to the company, in particular, in terms of communicating with shareholders, and as many shareholders of PPP as possible. And there are so many that even to this day, we don't even know, as a board on the register, we can't actually see through their nominee accounts to see who they actually are, but we're doing our best to reach out and get as many people involved as possible. Not everyone votes at meetings, and we'd like to see more people voting in future than, in every meeting. But actually tonight, I think we're way over 40 people have joined. And the first one of these we did literally 6 weeks ago, we had seven. And they've pretty much doubled each time. So that's really encouraging. So on the 23rd, let's go straight to the resolutions, I think. On the 23rd of December, we asked shareholders to vote on two resolutions. The most important and to some surprising positive outcome was that we managed to reach more shareholders prior to the vote on the 23rd of December than in the past, and that the shareholders in the majority voted in favour of the first resolution at the GM. And this is a very positive step, and it enables the company to move forward. As you'll probably most of you all know, because those of you on this call are probably the most actively interested in what's going on and follow us most closely. The second resolution failed, which means that the board didn't achieve the disapplication preemption rights because it didn't pass. Now that sets up a whole a whole different scenario in terms of how we're going to move forward and what we're able to do as a company. And we're going to hear about that today. In the circular, I made it very clear. I couldn't make it any clearer, and remain, and you know, in line with how these things should be written, that the voting on the 23rd was critical to the future survival of this company, and they weren't empty words. I meant it when I wrote it. I read a lot of these things. I invest also in many companies, and you know, you always see the same thing. You know, the board strongly recommends. No, this was more than that. This is really critical for this company. And fortunately, we actually passed that first vote, first resolution. So if we look back to the 3rd of July, 2025, I was long before I was involved and before Mavricky's time. There was a substantially similar resolution presented to a general meeting of Benpetro that was soundly defeated. It had actually, I went back and made sure I got my numbers right, but it was around 3 million shares voted for a very similar resolution in terms of increasing the headroom in the company to deal with certain issues. And 15 million voted against that resolution. Now, perversely, to my mind, this was celebrated pretty loudly by certain interest groups as a victory. I don't really know on what basis, but it hamstrung the board at that time and the company itself. And it created a near terminal outcome for Benpetro and its shareholders, the majority of whom, remember, didn't even vote. So it's very important to vote. Remember that. It was certainly not a positive outcome. For anyone, except those who might have wished to see at the time PPP fail. There was no other way to interpret it. And it held back the company and it crippled it really for many, many months. And it caused desperately needed short-term funding to fail to appear. And it literally hung, you know, the sword of Damocles over the entire business. I mean, it really was pretty dire at that point. At the recent general meeting, despite similar groups fighting, you know, tooth and nail, I've never seen anything like it, to ensure a repeat of this victory on the 23rd of December, the vote swung by over 40%, from 90% against to 53% for passing Resolution 1. And that's provided now a pathway to return to trading and to really bring Benpetro back. And I think that it's really important to dwell on those numbers, because some people have written to me and said, well, it passed on a really narrow margin. But think about what I've just said. I mean, it went from 90% against to 53% for. It's a huge swing, and it's really encouraging, and I'm really grateful that so many people, I'm sure some people must have really said, I'm going to change my vote to achieve that. So I think we shouldn't undervalue what we've all achieved up to this point. So we certainly, it's certainly lost on me, and it's, you know, it makes me think that it makes me happy to work even harder to get this thing where it needs to be. So we're on a positive trajectory now. And I think it's important that I try and explain in my own terms, and I don't want anyone to take this as being some form of statement to the market. This is Richard talking to everyone who took the time to be here, and we can take questions and we can discuss these things in a little bit more detail. But I basically tried to bullet out what that voting outcome means for the company. So, in simplistic terms and in my own words, the board received shareholder approval to have the ability to allocate shares of nominal value of up to £1.15 million. Now, before this vote took place, we saw all kinds of accusations that, oh, the board are rushing to, they're going to run out and they're going to dilute us and they're going to use all this. No, that's not the case. So to be clear, we're not in any rush to run out and dilute everybody through the issuance of all the shares approved for allotment. Indeed, many of the approved shares may never ever be issued or used. So it just gives us the flexibility. And in a minute, you'll understand why some of those were necessary and may not actually be used for the purpose that people were assuming they would be. It does give us the ability to take actions in what the board considered to be the company's best interest that prior to this vote would not have been possible, were not possible. I'll give an example. So where there are obligations or debts, exploring the return of uncontested pledged shares to those who provided them to the company. When, and by the way, without their trust and proactive support at that time, way back when in 23, this company wouldn't exist today. We would not be discussing the future. Bringing the company out of a breach of contract in certain instances, the one I can give you where I have close knowledge is the CLN agreement from R&D Group. By the way, the picture behind me is in British Columbia, where I am today. It's the R&D Group campus where we have a few projects going on with them. The company's still in breach of that agreement. I mean, it remains in breach actually because the second resolution didn't pass. But we'll come to that. So we also managed now to demonstrate, I think, in no small measure to the market and regulators, future institutional investors with whom we're talking, and particularly with whom Mavriky is leading the way with project discussions and funding discussions, that Pimpetro is different than it was. So in the past, we were pretty much known for mismanagement and a disregard for investors and shareholders. So we're making that a distant memory with this, as fast as we can, with this, this whole new approach and this, new, less combative stance between certain shareholders and the board. So I think that's really only positive. I'll give you an example again. The 25 million shares that the provided, by the resolution, to bring headroom, give headroom to the company, to the board, should it be required, which we expect may not be the case. But it could also be used to provide the going concern comfort that's required, that, when the 24-25 audit, it's the company has the ability, should it be required, to utilize those shares. So it gives the auditors comfort that the company, whereas before had no headroom, it had no room for maneuver. Now it has significant room for maneuver. So this is really important. Perhaps we should have made those things clear, by the way, before the voting, but we'll remember that, I think, for the future. Maybe we could have been a bit clearer on why those were there. Some people actually ask me, well, why have you got those 25 million shares there? Because realistically, it's not enough to move into projects, but it had other potential uses. And I think that's where it's going to come into its own when we get to the audited accounts, and we need the going concern underwrite, if you like, from the ability of the company to raise funds if necessary over the next 12 months. Despite the efforts of the board to explain as best we did, and we did miss certain things, that was one of them, I think, the importance of both resolutions voted upon at the meeting, the board and all reasonable shareholders who genuinely wish to see the renaissance of Pimpetro did not secure approval to disapply preemption rights, as I've said earlier, under the special resolution. Now, this may have been disappointing or even confusing, probably, for some shareholders. I know it was the case. They've come to me and asked me questions about it since. The company did try to resolve this to bring clarity to the situation on resolution one. I guess we can look. I prefer to see my cup as half full, but some people see it as half empty. I think we can all look at it as a positive. I'm going to bring all these things up, as I say, once and for all. So there has been a bunch of smear campaigns, everyone knows it, going on around PPP. And some minority groups trying to spin a narrative of how this board and the company is going to trap shareholders in their positions and dilute everyone by up to 90% or more and so forth. I'm not going to dwell on the fairy tales, but it seems now that we don't need to. The failure of Resolution 2 means simply that, and this is my own personal opinion, and simplified to allow for easier understanding. It's really a very complex topic, actually, and takes a lot of our time, or has done over the last several weeks. But the company, before it can issue shares in return for a cash consideration, so this doesn't apply to all of the shares for which Resolution 1 passed, by the way, but a significant proportion, must first offer them to the company shareholders to buy those shares themselves. Now, excuse me, based on a lot of the noise online, for example, surrounding the inability of existing shareholders to reduce or avoid dilution through these resolutions of their existing positions, of course, it's expected that the take up of an open offer, which the company intends to inform our shareholders of, should be quite significant. So the opportunity will exist for a certain number of the shares that would, which would be covered by the preemption and that must be offered to shareholders to be able to buy them in preference to outside new investors. The opportunity is going to be available to you all to buy them. And we'll come to that in a little bit more detail. And well, there'll be more publicly announced information in detail in the nearest future, in the near future. So, excuse me, any of those shares that aren't taken up by shareholders who wish to either buy more because they're confident in the company's future, or they wish to simply reduce the level of dilution they might suffer from the new shares that will be issued eventually due to the passing of Resolution 1, any that aren't taken up then can be offered by the company to raise money to take the company forward. So, you know, it's possible that all of the shares will be bought by existing shareholders, and the company will be delighted with that. So where are we at? I'm going to pause in a minute and have a break and let some questions come in. I'll give you an if a shareholder currently holds, for example, 1% of the shares in issue of Benpetro, you'll be able to purchase up to another 1% in the newly increased shares in issue or of the shares on offer, meaning that the issuance of new shares under Resolution 1 for that shareholder who takes up the offer will be non-dilutory. Their position won't have changed. We look forward to announcing this formally in the coming weeks, I'm hoping a couple of weeks, and hope that as many of you as possible, particularly those who specifically requested that the company do this, take up the offer and support the company financially and reduce your own dilution proportionally. So I'll take a pause, grab a drink, and ask if anyone's got any questions so far.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. Please do use the chat function if you have any questions. There was quite a lot of information there, and again, an offer. If shareholders would like to ask a question, please do email us at ppp@comarco.co.uk, and we'll also respond in writing as well. And the recording of this will go online probably tomorrow morning about 11 o'clock. No one question.
Saw something pop up.
Yeah.
Richard, I got a question. It's Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Yeah. Are we only limited to buy 1% of the shares?
No. I was using it as an example that, so for example, actually, this is a good question. This is a good example. So R&D Group, for example, could not buy those shares until they've been offered to existing shareholders of the company who then do not take up all of the shares that are offered. And then they're open to be sold to investment funds or others who might want to take them up. But because the second resolution, which would have allowed that to happen without an offer to existing shareholders first, didn't pass. We need to go through that process, which gives our current shareholders the chance to not be diluted if they wish to take up or are able to take up that offer.
So any shares that are still left there, I can buy about?
Yeah, well, after the initial period is over, and we see how many have not been taken up by existing shareholders.
Okay,
you would be able to buy as many of those as you wanted.
Whatever's left, I'll take.
We'll be in touch, for sure.
Thank you, Ron. Richard, we've got two questions here. I propose they're both related to return to trading. I know that was the next topic on your agenda. Would you like to run through that, please?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've just seen a question here. It says, as all major resolutions have been passed, how long before we resume trading? I'll go into that, as Andrew says, but not all major resolutions were passed. There were two resolutions. They were both major. One was passed. One failed, as I was explaining earlier, which leads to that. It's a fairly short process. I mean, I think the process in itself is 14 days. But depend from the time when we announce and produce the circular. So we do, but we'll come to, let's go through the core focus being the return to trading. So, and we agree with shareholders. I mean, that's exactly the most important thing that we should be focused on right now. So, I noticed online certain people, and people bring these things to me, as I've said on previous calls, and sometimes they see things and say, these are things you need to clarify. So I've looked at that. Some way back on the first call, or I would have been back in the end of October, I think. I think we were targeting January for the audited accounts 2025. Since then, and people who maybe made these comments perhaps weren't on all of the calls, you are all here today, for example, you'll know now that we're still targeting first week of February for the audited accounts to be completed. Now, had the AGM request for 14 days to call a general meeting have passed, which it didn't, and had the GM resolution 2, which we've just been discussing, have passed, both of which we recommended you passing, or the votes to vote in favour of, by the way, then we would be a month closer to returning to trading. There's consequences to all these things. And when I said, and they're out of our hands, they're not board decisions, they're shareholder decisions. So when they were voted, those were voted against, we lost a month because we now have far longer timescales, and we now have to add in other processes. So it's really important to bear that in mind when we ask for votes in a certain way. I mean, we're always willing to answer questions prior. If people want to say, why are you asking for that? We'll explain it. But so we're aiming now, we're told, I've had confirmed by the auditors that we can achieve the first week of February. At the moment, I'm not the auditor. If they come across a problem, then they might change it on me. But today it's the first week. We do not need to approve those audited accounts at an AGM before the board makes an application to be readmitted to trading. That's really important. So the accounts are published. Then we're able to, subject to everything, all things being equal and us being comfortable that we will have a strong likelihood of being readmitted, we can apply right away. So it's possible, and it's my goal and intention, that we ask the exchange to readmit the shares for trading the day we put out the accounts, which I'm hoping will be in, what's the date? 3 weeks' time. Whether that will happen or not, as I say, it's our goal, intention, and currently I think it's a realistic goal. So moving down, I just want to see if I've missed any notes here that I think are important. So again, immediately upon the accounts going out, we intend to apply for readmission of trading of PPP shares on the London Stock Exchange. Will they be readmitted? We're doing everything we can to remove any obstacle to that happening. But again, it's a request that we submit. And there's two answers to any request. Well, there's three. There's also maybe if you do this, but yes or no. Okay. We should be prepared, I think, as well, that certain unscrupulous individuals might try and undermine that. So I can't tell you whether or not that sort of thing will happen. You know, frivolous accusations to the FCA and all these kinds of things that we sometimes see probably will increase in number leading up to the request to readmit for trading and the accounts being issued. But that's so far has been a PPP trait. We hope that with the change in the voting and a palpable change in the way people are communicating with us, and well, I speak for myself, with me, and I've had some calls and some email communication from people, some of whom have even said to me, you know, I voted no before, but I really wanted to succeed, and I'm just going to trust you and don't let me down. So that kind of thing. I got a feeling that hopefully we won't have as many headwinds as we've had in the past at every term. There may be further demands made by the regulators to allow the company to be readmitted for trading, but you should be in no doubt that, I mean, we can't work any harder to get to the point where they're very limited or non-existent at this point. We're going to be announcing really important changes to the board structure of this company in terms of compliance, corporate governance, and we're going to continue and increase our investor relations efforts in the coming weeks. All of that should help us to, you know, make the likelihood of a positive outcome regarding return to trading more likely. We do need, and this comes back to though I mentioned it earlier in the other section, actually, that we will need to demonstrate before the accounts can be signed off by the auditors that Pimpetro is indeed a going concern. And the board have a number of ways satisfactory to our auditors to do this. And, you know, failure to pass that resolution that we've been discussing, the first one, would have made it an almost certain case that it would not have been possible. So those who voted in favour, you've made it possible for us to aspire to get this thing, apply for retrading in early February. And you should be pleased about the way you voted in that sense. So 3%, actually, if you think about it, 3% of votes made all the difference to get to that 53%. And, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it really was everything for this company. You can't see this from outside, but we've significantly strengthened, and in most cases, actually implemented from scratch, new corporate governance, infrastructure in the business, to ensure that we're set up correctly and that we intend to be beyond question and reproach. And we have to do that because we're, you know, because of the past and because of our goals in the future and the readmission to trading. We can't take the risk that we miss something. And there, in future, that's another thing that shareholders should know is there will be no room for creativity in how this business operates or behaves. It needs to not only give comfort to shareholders and incoming new investors, but also board members, you know, who can feel comfortable and confident that the business is run right and that any criticisms that they may receive, they're not valid. So there's that section. I'm going to pause again in case there's some questions, but I'm mindful of the fact that I'm talking a lot and listening little, and I want to be able to answer the questions.
Thank you, Richard. We've had two questions. The first one is, and you've answered some of it, I think, since the question was asked, Gordon, talking about, you know, when the audited accounts will be published. But the question is, I'm assuming the business needs funding to pass the ongoing concern test, but what will the funding be for? And if shareholders were to put their money in again, you know, would they be throwing good money after bad?
Sorry, I couldn't find the mute button. It's not for me to tell or advise, in fact, I'm not allowed to, anybody whether they should or should not invest in the business. All I can do is describe the business and allow people to make a judgment call as to whether they feel that they wish to invest more or they simply don't. And that as soon as they can, they want to sell up and move on. You know, we, all of us as investors make decisions on our investments and we have to make them ourselves. So I can't advise people as to whether or not, they should or should not invest. Okay. So there's that. In terms of the company needing funding to be a going concern, fortunately, and we have the owner on the call, R&D group have supported the company to get to here and to the next step. And I'm actually in, I'm not in the same room or the same building, but I'm in Kelowna, British Columbia. I met with Grand Chief Ron Derrickson this morning and I'm confident that the going concern will not be an issue. In terms of raising funds, that's a different discussion. There's a whole different scale. I mean, there has to be a reason why we're bringing this business back. If there was no reason to bring it back, then it wouldn't matter if it was a going concern, regardless and under any circumstances, because it would be, you know, it would not be a business, right? It would be a shell. And so I can say, and I don't want to do it on this call, but I really think probably in the next week or two, I think we, and probably, you know what, it just occurs to me, that's a good question. It's given me food for thought. It possibly prior to the open offer, probably what we'll do is I'll ask Mavriki, to liaise with you, Andrew, and draw up, with our advisors, sign off, a description of what PPP could look like in the future. And, you know, clearly I know. But I, without it being public knowledge and only with a limited audience, we need to be careful. But yeah, it's probably makes sense that we give you an overview of what the business should look like. I can answer without specifics. The company currently has a number that it intends to raise, and this will need shareholder approval. So at that point, you'll be very much in the know what it's for. And we'll give you time to consider it. It won't be vote today. We need the money tomorrow. We're going to give you weeks to consider it and we'll have another call or two, same as we did last time. And hopefully people will be satisfied that they're going to vote for it. If you don't, then the company doesn't really need to be here because it needs to be funded, operate, generate cash flow profitably. Otherwise it's not a business. So Mavriki's been very busy. He's on the call. I can see him up the top there. Developing due diligence and visiting all kinds of projects for the last 5 months. It's been narrowed down to a finite number of projects. I've privy to those projects. They're exciting projects that make sense. And whilst that fundraise is not necessary for the going concern, because we have the support of R&D group to manage the going concern at the audit, to demonstrate that. And we have the 25 million shares of headroom, which help with the going concern sign off by the auditors, already confirmed with them as being the case. It's the funding that we require will be A, de minimis, in line with, again, I'm going to go back about 20 minutes ago when there was this big panic where everyone's getting diluted to nothing. You know, we're all business people and, we are all investors. So we understand how these things should be best handled. And we're not here to dilute everyone into oblivion. I'm using those words because that's what someone wrote to me and I like to repeat that. It might be on this call. The amount of money we raise will be directly in line with the first steps that need to be taken to initiate certain opportunities that I think everyone's going to be excited about when we finally give you the actual details. And those who say, well, they keep saying if and maybe, and they won't give us details. we're not allowed to give details in a forum like this, and we have to be certain we are not the old PPP. We're not throwing six wells or four wells in Texas at the whiteboard and hoping they stick. We're talking about significant opportunities that will require over time significant funding, but that can likely be started with significantly less funding so that we can grow the value of the business before we raise further funding. In other words, controlling dilution as best we can. For all of us, we'll all be shareholders at that point.
On that, Richard.
Does that help?
On that, yeah, I think that's very helpful. And you've answered a couple of the other questions about governance. There are stock market changes coming. Will the future PPP still need a prospectus?
What does PPP need a prospectus for? Is the question, do we need a prospectus to be able to return to trading on the exchange? No.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. I think that's helpful to clarify. And another shareholder has asked, Paul, he believes there's
I just want to add to that. Look, let's not lose sight of the facts here. Okay. There's a lot of noise and then there's the facts. The company was suspended from trading on the London Stock Exchange because it failed for the third time to produce accounts on time. That's it. It wasn't anything more. I mean, I'm not suggesting that's a good thing, by the way. It was a ridiculous reason to be suspended from the main board of the London Stock Exchange three times. But it's not the case that there was some deeply significant structural issue with the company that the regulators decided that this company should not be allowed to trade on the stock exchange. It failed to file their accounts on time again. Now, it's been hard to get to the point where all three sets of accounts have been caught up with, and it's extremely expensive doing it retrospectively, and that's why it's taken so long, apart from the fact that certain parts of the business refused or did not have access to their own accounts. Nothing to do with this, preceding our tenure. But, so again, this isn't, we're not listing a business. This company has been suspended from trading because it didn't file its accounts on time for the third time. We're now going to put that correct. We're going to bring the company into compliance. We are dealing with, on a regular basis, have been in the past at least, dealing with, a whole bunch of mudslinging going into the FCA, which creates probably, not at the moment, but has created in the past a significant amount of workload and cost to the company, which was completely unnecessary. All of it ended going nowhere. So, but that has nothing to, you know, and that may affect how the return to trading is viewed, but I'm hoping that it won't be, because we work so hard at cleaning those things up. But ask anyone on this call who is involved in that kind of thing, please stop doing it. Just costs us money and it's not helpful to you or your fellow shareholders. But the suspension is simple. It should be simple to remedy. Simple to remedy. Yeah, let's publish the accounts first week of February.
Thank you, Richard. Another question here. I believe there's a requirement to have a 30 million asset value to be eligible to be main market listed. Is that needed?
No, not the case. We hear this all the time. Asset value. First of all, there's not an asset that we're looking at that isn't above 30 million. And you'll see all of the details when we finally bring them to you and we say, look, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to return to trading with. This is what we want to raise certain amounts of money for. We're going to have to go through that process. It would have been great if we could have done it in 14 days. We can't. We didn't vote for 14 days. We voted to stay at 21 days. And so take a little bit longer. But again, we did ask for the shorter time scale, but we didn't get it at the AGM. So we'll live with that. It's a market capitalization of 30 million pounds.
That's helpful. Thank you, Richard. Yeah. Another question here. Have all the management who put the business in the previous parlous state now left the business? Do any of them still have links to the company?
Some people aren't going to like the way I answer this. It would have been nice if, from my certain knowledge, and, you know, I take every business I'm involved with for as long as I'm involved with it very seriously. It would have been nice if certain people who are being, I can include in that description, have helped the board that followed them to bring this thing back faster. So I would say, other than a lot of the creativity that goes on online and off with the undermining of the business, which continues, well, actually, since Christmas, it's been pretty good. I'm really quite comfortable with the change, a bit of a sea change, but all of that nonsense and the nastiness that was going on, that was how they were connected to the business. In terms of are they connected to the business in any way in the day-to-day management or in any way influencing what this board is doing? No. Categorically, no.
Thank you. Got one relating to the RMD convertible loan note. Yep. Was there a reason that the price was not disclosed?
Well, the price was very much disclosed. In fact, we RNS'd. Not only was it disclosed, it was RNS'd as being higher, as a very fair value, a very fair price. Okay, bearing in mind the fact that it was the same price as the previously RNS'd GEM financing, but that the instead of 8% per annum, Grand Chief Derrickson reduced by 25% the coupon on his loan that replaced the GEM note. So how could it not have been disclosed? It was disclosed as being at 4p. 4p, incidentally, could have been argued, and he realised this at the time that he agreed to do 4p to match the GEM loan note. It could have been argued that it should have been at 1p, bearing in mind the way the share price moved, the reason for its move from below a penny to over 10p, with a trading number in excess of 500 million shares and a company with a free float of a fraction of that in a 2-week period leading into a suspension. So perhaps, if we take all of that into account, A, it was disclosed, and B, it was a great deal for PPP. And whilst people will sit on here and say, there was other offers. No, there weren't. None that have been demonstrated to me. And I have asked to have evidence of that. And there is no evidence. Unless someone wants to send it to me, you can send it via the email address. Happy to look.
And certainly, Sam, the RNS of the CLN, I think, has a bit more information in it. Got another one here. On the last call, there was reference to assets in Texas. Are we able to update any more on where we stand on that?
Which assets in Texas? The company's assets in Texas that Mavericki went into great detail, if it was on the last call, which is on the website that people can go back and listen to, if you were on this call but not on the previous call, so you'll get some context. That would have been the call before last.
Richard, they're specifically asking about Global Vision and Robert Menzel. Where does PPP stand?
I see. There's a question here. I'll let you answer it. I mean, you know where I stand.
Well,
let me not put you on the spot. Answer it from as it's my call. Right. My view is this. Mavericki has extensive experience in oil and gas. And I've watched him take apart any number of proposals and possibilities that this company has been looking at for the last 5 or 6 months. The list that I described earlier in this call is a finite list that I am comfortable as a board member that I would vote on. Whether or not any Global Vision, I don't know why that's come into the discussion. Robert Menzel clearly is a board director. Whether or not The final proposal, which you will all see just prior to the return to trading, includes anything to do with what's being referred to, I think, there or not, will become apparent at the time that we make that decision to publish the document that tells our shareholders what we believe the company's best options are.
Great, that's very helpful.
I'm happy to listen to more questions on that and take it further, but I think I've been fairly clear in a roundabout way.
Yeah, I think you have. Just summing up there, I think one from Michael around communications to shareholders. You know, look, I think we try to be as transparent and clear as we can, and we'll continue to make sure that we do that. But a question for you, Richard. Will the management team look to invest in part of any future fundraising?
I don't understand the question. We already are. Okay, I think I do. Are you saying, will the board directors be making directors' buys?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
I read that.
First of all, we already are, and have been for the last several, for the period from at which we joined the company, because no one's paid, because we don't take any of the money that's been funded by R&D group to pay for directors. In fact, not that I myself or Maverick are included in it, there was part of Resolution 1 at the general meeting was to pay for directors' fees, which are owed by the company from as long ago as 12 months back. So the answer is any one of them could have argued that they're owed money. Not one of them has. And currently, I'm more than excited to be able to take my compensation in shares. Mavriki can nod or shake his head. He's got his video on.
And definitely, so look, if I have an opportunity.
We're already taking equity in the company, because everything we do, and believe me, we do a lot more than you might think. I said it before on a call. I work 18 hours a day. I reckon 14 of them are for PPP right now. And hopefully that will change when this thing's back to trading, and it'll be a lot more enjoyable and a lot more productive and proactive activities that we carry out for the company, rather than running around with a mop and bucket trying to clean up after what this company has turned into since 2016 till just over a year ago. But yes, and yes is the answer, I think.
Yep, that's helpful. We've got a question here. You may not be able to answer it tonight, and it may be subject to a future call, but it's, you know, there's interest to hear from Mavriki about the work you're doing and any of the opportunities you're working on. You may choose not to answer that tonight. I think that's okay, and shareholders may want to hear again, but.
Yeah, I think it's best left for the future call, just like Richard said.
Yeah, I think that's clear. I think
we'd love to tell you, but we will tell you at the right time, and it won't be too long now. We're getting really close to February, right?
Well, let us take an action, and we'll do a separate call on the opportunities once we put them on. We issue them on an RNS, and then we can walk you through in more detail.
But not, sorry, I think I should, I can say
this. Are there
this.
Any like, other look, questions coming in?
Sorry, Andrew, I just want to say one more thing. Another reason why we don't want to rush to say things and then have to rush to say that they're not actually happening that way anymore, because people are quick to criticize, and they're right in that sense, because it's not very professional to talk about things that may not happen. Now, because of certain uncertainties often created by, a certain group of people who don't have everyone's best interests at heart, some people might pick up on, some potential counterparties might pick up on something and decide that they don't want to be associated with PP, although initially they did, or alternatively, we may take longer to get to the point where we are able to participate in an opportunity for whatever reason, and we may miss them. So, you know, there are certain opportunities that we create ourselves from the ground up. Those ones are less likely to disappear due to delays or time or other outside influence. And then there are those that that perhaps we just might not make it in time, even though we've spent many months on putting them together. So we don't want to jump the gun and say, we're doing this until we know that we've already agreed that we're doing that. So, and we need to get to that as close as possible to that return to trading, because that's what makes it, that's the condition upon which larger scale funding, when I say larger scale, nobody should panic, sufficient to enter into these relationships would be available. No one's going to invest in a suspended company with no accounts. That's so we're just hoping now that we get there quick, and those the deals that Maverick has put so much effort into, the finite list is ready to go, and we won't be, you know, we need to get closer to that defining moment.
Thank you, Richard. There is a question here which we may need to take away, James. So we will if we can answer it. It relates to the earlier question about the need for a prospectus. And potentially needing one before returning to trading. Richard, I think probably the best thing to do is take that away and come back once we've spoken to the relevant advisors.
I'm looking at it now. It's James Griffiths, right?
Yes, correct.
The one at the bottom.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, we will take it away, but more than happy within what I'm able to say to have a call with you, James. It's quite a complex question, and we look. This refers to, I think, on the fly, that you are referring to upon, not upon, respectively, you're just talking about enlarged group. You're talking about the RTO that's been spoken of, right? And that there's a heads of agreement in place for. You're not talking about the return to trading. You're talking about the RTO. Yeah. Okay. You're right, Andrew. We should take it away. And it's not a big issue as you think, and it assumes that a full on RTO takes place and everyone agrees to it and signs off on it, and we go through that entire process. And it may be that when we do come to announce what we would like to do to our shareholders and ask them to vote in favour of it, to allow the company to go forward and to trade and to operate those opportunities, it may be that it doesn't look like you thought it was going to look.
Yeah, I think James clarified. That's helpful too. Got one here, Richard. I may address this to a Grand Chief. Feel free to say no. Just ask to hear a little more on the thoughts from yourself, Ron, on interest in the business and what you're looking forward to.
Well, the most I can say is I'm in here for the long haul, and that a PPP will not be ever in any position where it's going to fail for lack of finance. And I'm there to make sure that it, you know, I believe in PPP and I believe in what we're doing. I believe in Richard. So, and Mavericki and some of the other members, but I'm there strictly as a business deal, and I know we'll follow through, and this will be a very successful company. Everybody will get their shares as where it was denied them, as Richard has said, and I will not falter in achieving what we want to do, financially or otherwise.
Thank you, Ron. That's fantastic. I think that's been very helpful. And I think just a question here, Robert, I saw you joined a little later, that there's quite an extensive section on the return to trading. Richard gave a briefing. This recording will be online, probably tomorrow morning if you'd like to re-listen to it. But, Richard, we have sort of 3 minutes to go before, 4 minutes before to go. Would you like to say any sort of closing words as any questions come in on focus, return to trading, and any final words for shareholders, please? Oh, you're on mute, Richard. Sorry.
You're not wrong. You're a bit of jet lag. No, look, just thanks everyone for coming. It's really, I really appreciate the numbers are really good now. It shows that people are interested. Sometimes I've been critical of certain groups. They deserve it. Doesn't mean, however, that people can't change their minds. It doesn't mean that we don't want them to. It doesn't mean that we really prefer to look forward than back. Think that the company's got a great future in front of it. Grand Chief Derrickson there has been really supportive, despite, being aware of a lot of the noise, he's highly experienced, been through a lot of things, but read his book, Fight or Submit, PPP, I think, would just be another chapter, another successful outcome with his support. There's certain people were complaining that, despite all the effort and the positive changes that take place, that perhaps they would like to, that I should have stood for election and God knows what else. Well, first of all, I shouldn't have done. We did everything correctly in our corporate governance and our actions are very carefully vetted at all times. It costs a lot of money, but we've got people criticizing. We have to make absolutely sure that we're in the clear. But the AGM that's coming up, people will, who do have that concern will be able to vote for me to stay or to be removed. That's something that I want to bring up, and no one's asked me about lately, but I just want to bring it up. It's not something that we're afraid of. The future really can be very bright for PPP. You are going to be asked to vote again in future on certain things. We're going to give you as much information as we possibly can. We're going to do more of these calls. Sooner the better, now that we've had that brought up in this forum. I'm going to go away and chat with Mabriki and Andrew and see, and other advisors, and see what we are able to say prior to even the return to trading. See if we can get a bit more information out there. They may say we can't provide certain figures and something, but I do need to check to make sure that we don't make a misstep. And really try and engage people. I know it's difficult to kind of get excited if you really don't know what it is. And especially when you've been used to being bullshitted for so long. I mean, I get it. So we're going to do our best, I think, to get you some information, have another call, perhaps get Mabriki to walk through a redacted version of his shortlist for projects, let people ask questions about them. I think you'll find it exciting. Again, with the caveat that they would have to be approved and voted on. So to go forward, and we do have to return to trading. And to answer quickly Robert's question, even though he came late, there is a big section on that. We discussed it at great length. In short, we're aiming for the first week of February to publish the final set of accounts whose failure to publish caused the suspension. It is my goal to request to the authorities who can make that happen that the company returns to trading. And I want to make that request at the same time as we publish the accounts, and then prior even to the approval of the accounts, because I know that it's something that all of us need to happen. And I hope that we will be granted that opportunity, that we will return to trading more quickly than even the AGM that will follow.
Thank you so much, Richard. That brings us up to time. Thank you, everyone that joined tonight. I hope that was useful. Recording will be on the website tomorrow, and we're here for any other questions. So thank you. Good night, and enjoy your evenings.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. I will stop the recording now.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.